Why did you leave me by myself? I said, baby, why did you leave me? Why you leave me by myself? Yes, you know I really love you and I don't want nobody else. Have you ever loved someone and you know they didn't love you? Yes, have you ever loved someone and you know they didn't love you? I want you to take my advice. Why tell you what to do? I'm going upstairs. I'm gonna bring down all my clothes. The man did me wrong. I'm going upstairs, yeah. I'm gonna bring down all my clothes. Well, when my so-called friends asked about me, you just tell them I slept out though. Boy, I really love you and I want you for myself. Boy, I really love you and I want you for myself. Yes, I love you and I need you and I don't want nobody else. Let me hear you, Billy. Help me, 'cause I can do bad by myself. Boy, you gotta help me. I can do bad by myself. You got to help me, baby, don't I'm gonna find somebody else. Help me.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, and that is Mary Lane with special guest Billy Branch. Thanks for joining us. Jim Tullio on guitar, and the other guitarist?
Mike Elkhart.
Mike, how you doing, Mike?
Very well.
Thanks for coming in. And Mary, you want to come over to the mic? This is your second visit to the show. You've got a new CD out. It is called Traveling Woman. But you guys, tell us about that song. That song first that you just played, Mary. How you doing, Mary?
Fine, and you?
It's good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Did you miss me?
Almost.
So, talk about that track.
I think it's great when you say traveling woman. I did a lot of traveling and everything. Now I'm back in the city, and I don't think I want to travel no more soon. But, like I say, I'm going to still be singing the blues and going from this place to the other place, singing with Billy Branch all around Chicago, and I'm going to make him blow his heart out on the CD, and it's going to be great.
Mary, tell the listeners how old you are.
I'm 83.
83 years old.
And still kicking.
You ain't lying.
And this is your second CD.
My second CD.
Second record.
Second? No, I got four.
Oh, I thought this was the second one?
Oh, I got two that's coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a new one, yeah. Traveling Woman. And only can be Mary Lane.
Right. And that's also the documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Jim Tullio, a friend of ours.
Great guy.
Thanks for joining us.
Sure, man.
How'd you hook up with Mary, and what was it like to work on this project? Is this out yet?
I don't know if it's
Traveling
officially
Woman.
Out. Is it officially out yet? Yeah.
Yes.
An old friend of mine, a guy named Steve Soltis, who owns a distillery now down in Thornton, Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it was a few years ago, they did a community festival in the park in Thornton, and they invited Mary to play. And he called me up, and he said, you know, do you know who Mary Lane is? I said, yeah. And he said, you should really do a record on her, you know. So they brought her up to meet me, and Mary and I hit it off, and we just started making a record.
And how long ago was that?
It was two and a half years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
And why did you hit it off? What was the connection? And, tell the listeners some of the and Molly and some of the other people you've worked with. You've got a pretty good resume.
So many. I mean, Richie Havens, John Martin, Mavis Staples, Mavis. Aretha Franklin. I can go on. But Mary knocked me out because she's the real deal. You know, she is the real thing, and you know, she's not. She doesn't try. She does. And when we were making this record, it was so evident because she would go into the vocal booth and just sing, and what came to her head, and that's how we basically wrote these songs. She would just go in and sing, and we do verse after verse, and then I edit what she would do to make a complete song, you know. But she's so good that she can just go in and do that.
How familiar were you with her? I mean, she had a record in '97.
I knew who she was, but yeah. I wasn't that familiar.
Uh-huh.
But I knew who she was. I had heard her before. Yeah.
Was there any techniques or any tricks you used with other artists, especially female artists, like Mavis, or was this a completely separate discipline?
Yeah, I mean, every record you do is different. Every artist is different. So there's no sort of formula, you know, or tricks or anything like that.
Yeah. How'd you bring her out?
Pardon me?
How did you bring her out? Or was it? She's pretty outgoing, pretty natural.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Mary's real natural. Yeah. That's what I love about her. She's real natural.
And how did you write the songs?
Well, interesting. I mean, I pretty much came up with all the tracks.
Uh-huh.
And then she would come in and just sing. And she'd go into the vocal booth and just sing. And we'd do, you know, 5 to 10 takes. And she'd make things up. And then she'd come in and I would edit. I would go, well, that's a good first verse. This is a good second verse. This is a great chorus. And that's how we made the whole record. There was really only one song called Let Me Into Your Heart where we both had to really sit down and write the song, you know, in a traditional way, because it wasn't a standard blues progression. So that's the only one that we had that situation with.
I see here John Rice played on that.
Yeah.
I know John. Yeah. Yeah. John's got kind of a country background, too.
John's
did a lot of session work in Chicago.
John's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, great player. Okay, so, like, Leave That Wine Alone. How did that come up? Was that your idea? Was that Jim's idea? Did you veto ideas?
That was my idea.
That was your idea?
Yeah, because I had got tired of him drinking, and I told him to leave the wine alone.
You got tired of who drinking?
Jim?
I don't drink.
Alternate. So how long did it take to get all these together?
It took about a year. Because she would only come up maybe once every couple weeks, and we'd spend the day. So it took some time, and in the meantime, I'd built the tracks, and, you know.
And you said there's a documentary, too. What's the relationship between the documentary and the
Well, they initially album? Came in to film Mary. It was a college student. Her name was Jessica Simmons, and she wanted to do, actually, she was doing a piece on West Chicago Blues, West Side Chicago Blues. And so she wanted to film Mary in the studio. She ended up doing a small, you know, 5-minute piece on Mary that we used for a GoFundMe campaign. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, she dropped the whole West Side Chicago Blues thing and just focused on Mary, did a whole feature on Mary.
It's really good. Yeah. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. They've got some Nocturnal Journal in there.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I wanted to ask you, where'd the footage of Junior Wells, that's in the documentary, the footage of Junior Wells and you, was that down at the Checkerboard? That was Teresa's.
Teresa's, yeah.
Do you guys know anything about the history of that or where that came from?
No, not really. I was there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Billy,
yeah.
But that's the, is that the clip that I turned you on to?
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy, talk about that.
Yeah, that's, that is, if I'm not mistaken, an excerpt from documentary I Am the Blues.
Oh yeah.
Okay. With Willie Dixon and the new blues generation, which highlighted along with myself and the newly founded Sons of Blues band. That was a trip to Berlin, Germany, for the new blues generation. And they came back to Chicago, the German filmmakers, and they filmed, there's a scene with us with Willie Dixon in Teresa's Lounge, and there's that scene with Mary with Junior in Teresa's Lounge. So that clip is from 1977 or 78.
Is that in English or in German?
It's in English. But they were they did a documentary on we were presented to the Berlin Jazz Festival as the answer to the question, are there any young black blues players playing? And Jim and Amy O'Neill, the founders of Living Blues, assembled 15 of us, comprising three rhythm sections, along with Willie Dixon. And it was a huge success, the new generation of Chicago blues at the Berlin Jazz Festival, which was the first time anything like that had happened on that blues stage. I'm on that jazz stage.
Billy, I mean, there's Coco Taylor, you know, there's been blues singers. What makes Mary different, and Jim too? What makes her different?
Mary,
yeah, her style from other female blues singers.
Well, like Jim said, you know, she's the real deal, and I've known Mary with probably 30-40 years, and because I was just getting my feet wet back in those days, in those old Teresa days. And you know, there's not a lot of what you would call a lot of the authentic blues singers left, and Mary certainly is one of the best of those. Back in the day, there was quite a few women. We had Big Time Sarah, we had Bonnie Lee, we had Coco Taylor, Valerie Wellington, Barbara LaShore, Razora, a whole lot of them. And, you know, which unfortunately, you know, a lot of the folks, they passed on, you know, across the board. But that, I'm telling Mary, I said, this is your year, because... You know, it's her time, because she's been out here doing it all these years, and it's time that she does get some due recognition.
Mary, listen to the record. I mean, and Jim, I mean, there's something so unfiltered and strong about your style, you know? And you know what I'm talking about? Yep. And it's just so direct. I think that's what gives it its power. Does your experience when they're talking about Teresa's, what was it like for a female to walk around in that world in the 70s? And
oh, it's great. It just made me feel like singing the blues and being around a lot of blues. I mean, real good blues player like Junior Wells and Buddy Guy. He would sneak in every now and then and be in there with us and everything. Sammy Longhorn and all of them. But like I say, Sammy Longhorn, that was really my guy. I loved him. He'd sit up and go to sleep on the amp. And I'd be saying, he'd wake up and look at me and still be in the same key. And then I'd say, you good.
Yeah,
and it was just a great feeling to be in the place again, because when I was down south with Howlin' Wolf and all of them, you know, I sung the blues down there too. But when I came up here and was in Teresa's and everything, all the blues was just right there in one block, you know, and everything. And I just loved it.
You know, Molly, I mean, in the 70s, I would talk to like country music artists, I mean, big ones like Tammy Wynette, and would talk about how they would maybe, you know, get taken advantage of, and it was a man's world and stuff. Was it same thing true in the blues here, even in the mid-70s and stuff? I mean, was it hard for you to find your way, or did you have support from the male community?
No, I didn't have no support. I made my own support.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, I got out there, and a lot of times you go around, you know, the females and everything, you know, singing and everything. They come Mary Lane, you know, she come and they take our gigs and everything. But it didn't bother me, because I would get up there and I'd still be me. you know, hey, I wouldn't try to get up there outdoing nobody else or none of that. I'd just get up there and be me.
You know, Dave, you always ask your musicians how they got started doing music. How did you get started?
Doing the blues?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my uncle in the Brinkley, Arkansas, had a club called the White Swan Nightclub, and always used to go around when Howlin' Wolf used to come around and play and everything, and he'd tell me, when he come back next week, I'm going to put you up on the stage with him and everything. I said, no, you ain't. Like I say, so one night they put me up on the stage with him, and I started singing and everything, and me and James Cotton, I had a tune, Dust My Broom, and they put me up there after I sung that night. Then they told me, she can beat you singing Dust My Broom and everything. And ever since that one night and everything, every weekend when they come to Brinkley and everything, they would put me up there to sing with Howlin' Wolf.
We got to take a break for a spot. I'm going to come back and continue on your migration up to Chicago. Okay? So you're not going to go anywhere, are you?
No.
Okay. All right, we'll be back after more on Nocturnal.
Yeah. Glow, Billy, glow. I was born in the country, and they brought me to the city. Girls, I was born in the country, and they brought me to the city. Well, I'm gonna keep on singing the blues. Girl, ain't that a pity? You got to reap. You got to reap just what you sow. You got to reap. You got to reap just what you sow. I'm gonna keep on singing the blues. I'm gonna sing them more and more. Baby, do like I tell you, and you'll be all right with me. Yes, just do like I tell you. Boy, you'll be all right with me. Well, if you don't do like I tell you, boy, you gon' have to let me be. Come on, Billy. Come on, Billy. That's what I'm talking about. Woo! Yeah. walked all last night. Billy, I had tears all in my eyes. Yes, I walked all last night. I had tears all in my eyes. Yes, you know I'm gonna find my baby. And it's gonna make me satisfied. Love you, Billy.
There we have Mary Lane and Billy Branch on harmonica. Thank you, Mary. And Billy will be curating a performance. And Billy, I don't know if you'll be playing that on 7 p.m. January 14th at Logan Center for the Arts, 915 East 60th Street, 7 p.m. January 14th. Can you dance to that? I saw you were moving around.
Oh, I can't help myself. Yeah. How can you not move to that beat?
So what will happen at Logan Center? How does this work? So you curate it. Do you talk about her career and what we're doing here, and then you play a little bit?
What we're doing, my wife, Rosa, who's right there.
Hi, Rosa.
We are curators of this series. It's a five-part series. And this was what actually led to the development of the Logan Center Blues Festival. Mm-hmm. We presented the Logan Center with an idea that we had, which was actually this idea, was to cultivate a small series of local artists. But in the interim, John Logan, one of the members of the Logan family, it turns out it was a huge blues lover and harmonica player. So he said, well, let's expand this. Let's make this national. So the first years we had Elvin Bishop. We had our band. We produced the Saturday night. It was Friday and Saturday and Sunday, I believe. And then this year, they brought in Charlie Musselwhite and Ruthie Foster.
Oh, yeah.
As well as, you know, local acts. And so then we went back to our original proposal, which is what we're doing right now, which is to highlight some of Chicago's top and especially some of the veteran artists in the city. And the first one we kicked off with Jimmy Johnson, you know, Jimmy Johnson just turned 90.
Yeah, right.
But you never know it by his playing or the way it's incredible. He's phenomenal. And so Mary will be our second featured artist, and I do a short interview and do a little acoustic number with the featured artist, and then their band performs for the evening. And it's early. And it's family friendly, and part of the inspiration was to acknowledge a presence for the blues in the South Side, where it flourished back in the day, and which now is very very few places that you can hear good blues on the South Side.
Have you seen that, Mary, in your travels? I mean, South and West Side. We just talked about Teresa's gone, Checkerboard gone. Have you seen some of the clubs that you knew evaporating?
It won't be no more clubs like that.
Uh-huh. You play the water. What clubs do you play?
Buddy Guys and the Smoke Daddy. I'll be at Smoke Daddy.
Smoke
on the
Daddy.
19th.
Oh, you will be at Smoke Daddy.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I did Buddy's on the 15th, on the 16th, and the 25th of November.
In March 8th. Okay. The documentary points out, you talk in the documentary about you raised seven children, pretty much.
Eight
on your own? Yep. Talk about that. Talk about that, what that was like, the power of that, and also, you know, did you still sing at that same time, or what was it like to?
I've been singing ever since I was 12 years old. But
so that didn't cut into your career.
No.
Yeah.
I came up in the church, and like I say, after I, you know, started having kids and everything, I just stopped for a while, and then I started back when I got, I guess about, I think I was about 17, and then I just really got into singing the blues and everything, because at my house in Clarendon, I stayed in a place called Clarendon, Arkansas, and we had a guy named, we call him Uncle L. He used to play a box guitar all the time, and he'd come to my house every Saturday, bring his guitar, and there's a little juke joint right down the street from my house. He would go down there and sit down there and play, and he'd go, come on, go down here with me. We're going to make some change. Uh-huh. He carried me down there, and we had a little bucket. He would sit down there beside the thing. I started singing. They started coming up, putting all kind of little quarters and dollars and stuff in there. And that's where it really started from. So he passed away, and after he passed away, then I was old enough to really make up in my mind, you know, that's what I wanted to do, sing some blues. And the hard, out here doing this record that we just did, Traveling Woman.
Traveling Woman.
The hardest tune on there was me, for me to do. And he just kept on saying, you can do it, Mary, you can do it. And I worked on that tune about 6 months, just that one tune. Because the music, I couldn't get the feel, you know, to put the lyrics to it and everything, and I just worked on it. Yeah, you can do it, Mary. So I said, I'm not going to do it, Jim.
And she did.
And,
then,
and which track was
let,
it?
Let Me Into Your Heart.
Okay, all right.
And then I say, I got to do this tune because this man going to run me crazy. And I just made it in my mind as fast in the bedroom door, and I just stayed in there that night, and I came up with it.
That is great.
Jim, you say in the documentary you think this is Grammy-winning material.
I think
elaborate on that.
Well, I think it's good enough to be,
uh-huh.
And I think she deserves it. So,
yeah.
I mean, isn't that what it is? I mean,
and you got to come to the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, which one? The one with Billy?
Yeah, the one with Billy.
Okay.
Although sometimes I think, unfortunately, I think the Grammy sometimes is more about sales than quality.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know. Yeah. Sometimes that's the case.
You and you too.
I think we'll be there.
I think we can get there.
I think we'll hold each other accountable.
All right.
But your kids, in the documentary, the kids just talk about how you empowered them. I mean, your spirit and your force and your will, you know, really, really, in, you know, obviously
yeah,
made an influence on
that sings, you know, they're not really into the blues like them, but they sings, you know, they can sing. The three kids they have by Morris Pijo.
Right.
They sing. So, but
talk about Morris. Tell the listeners who Morris was.
What he's
tell,
like.
Yeah, well, first husband. Yeah.
Okay.
He had a musical career.
Yeah.
Our friend Bill Dahl is in the documentary.
Yeah.
With a suit and tie. I was very impressed. He got dressed
yeah.
up.
But Morris, I met Morris when I was in Waukegan. He used to play at a place called Shook's. And I used to go down there on the weekend, and he was playing down there, so I met him down there. And I got one night and sung with them and everything. So he told me, I like how you sound and everything. You want to work with us and everything. So I just started singing with them, and I came over to Chicago one weekend and I worked with them and everything. Then they would come back to Waukegan every weekend and play. So that's how me and him got together.
And he had his own musical career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Morris Pijo.
Yeah, right.
Made for Chess. Made Chess Records.
Some of that stuff you did, like I Always Want You Near and some of that stuff, I mean, it has like a soul twist to it. I mean, it kind of deviates from just straight ahead blues. There's like a little soul and R&B thing going.
Yeah. And the stuff that me and Jim did, that's all the way from what I do. What I was doing, the blues that I was doing, but like I say, as I did it, you know, I started feeling some of the tunes that I did with him and everything, but I like all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Jim, I mean, Hambone was with us before. Were you around, and this almost gets into the dance thing we were talking about. Were you around during the whole Big Twist phase?
Well, I produced Big Twist.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I did their first two records.
Yeah, tell the listeners and tell them what Big Twist and the Mellow Fellows were. And
well, Big Twist was a... I think Big Twist started his career as the drummer for Hank Ballard.
Did you know Twist, Larry? Did you know him?
Larry Nolan?
Yeah, Larry Nolan. Yeah.
And I mean, legend has it that he wrote the Twist.
Yeah, now, right.
I don't know if that's true,
uh-huh.
But he claims he did. And Hank Ballard gets credit for writing the Twist. But he was Hank's drummer. And back then, the leader of the band took credit for any of the songs that anyone in the band wrote.
Yeah.
So, but that was his big claim to fame. And I met them in the 70s. Late 70s when they moved to Chicago, and I started working with them.
They were kind of like a R&B soul thing. They really weren't blues. Yeah.
That's how I originally met the band.
Yeah.
That's how I met the band, because Big Twist and the Mellow Fellows was the band's favorite band.
Oh, I didn't know that story.
Yeah.
Really?
So whenever the band was in town, if Twist was playing, they'd be at the gig.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's how I got to meet Levon and Danko and those guys.
Yeah, yeah. They really were something. Yeah. They were just...
it was a great live band.
Yeah. Pete Special was in that band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pete Special and stuff.
Terry Ugolini.
Yeah, yeah. So, Billy, what other projects you got coming up? You've got... it's not out yet, but this is a great idea. And the 50th anniversary tribute to Little Walter. What a great idea.
Yeah, well, I kind of... we went through a thing about the merits of doing this, because I was of the mind, you know, there's been so many tributes to Little Walters, but this marked the 50th anniversary, and it's my band doing we cut 14 songs in 2 days, and in addition to that, we have Little Walter's daughter, Marian Diaz, doing commentary. So she's relating some of the songs to the memories of her father.
And when will this be out? You got My Babe on here.
You got My Babe. But here's the thing about this. We didn't want to do... I mean, I've never been of the mindset to just copy what anybody... You know, always you got to put your personal stamp on it, or, you know, distinguish yourself as an artist. So we took liberties. So the My Babe you're going to hear on there is kind of like a Latin... flavored My Babe, which was arranged by my piano player Ario. Ario used to play with Valerie Wellington back in the day. But so a lot of these arrangements have been rearranged. Some of them we stayed true to the original, but a lot of them we took the liberties and made them kind of our own.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to ask you to come back and just play a little bit of harmonica after the break.
Okay.
And then we'll close it out, and we can talk about all these future projects one more time.
Okay.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN with Mary Lane. Mary, you said in that last song you walked on last night with tears in your eyes.
Yes.
You could. That was New Year's Eve.
I know.
You could come over to my house. I wasn't... you like that. So you had a question, Molly.
Yeah, so you were talking about leaving an imprint, having an imprint on your music, and how you create your own styles. So Sarah here knows lots about blues music here in Chicago, but I am pretty new to it still, and I would love to hear from you all what recommendations you have for some like up-and-comers, like where to go in the city, for people who like dancing like I do. Who should I be listening to?
Billy's your man to ask for that.
Well, we got Kingston Mines, Buddy Guys, Rose's Lounge, Blues on Halsted, Blues Chicago. I mean, this is the blues capital of the planet, 7 nights a week. You know, and dancing, the Mines has got where the people dance a lot, but Blues on Halsted is kind of tiny for dancing. But
go to Roses.
Roses, yeah.
The scene must have changed a lot, though, and the music must have changed in ways, too, yeah?
Well, yeah, because you don't have as many places on the South Side anymore. And it's somewhat diminished. We used to have, a few more blues clubs, but the scene is still active and it's still pretty vibrant. It's still Chicago's still the number one place on the planet to hear blues.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I like those tips.
So the album is Mary Lane, Traveling Woman, on Women in the Blues Records. It comes out March. Is that what we're saying?
March 8th.
digitally available now, and there's a Facebook page called Women of the Blues Records. You can visit that page for more information on that. And also the...
Oh, I liked it.
Doing it right now.
And Billy, you're going to play us out with... Talk about the Sonny Boy harmonica you're going
to
play.
Well, this is like a throwback. You know, Sonny Boy was the only guy that used to play the big 12-hole marine band. This sounds like it, even though it's a 10-hole.
Okay, as he goes out, Jim, can you introduce all the members of the band again? I want to give everybody credit who all is here tonight. Jim on guitar, Jim Tullio.
Billy Branch on harp, Mary Lynn on vocals, and Michael...
Alvarado on guitar. Okay. All right, so thank you very much, and it's going to be January 14th, Logan Center for the Arts. 915 East 60th Street. Have you been to Logan's? Have you been to Logan's?
No.
So, thanks so much for joining us. And thank you, Molly McGown, for riding along for these 3 hours. And
thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Jim. And we'll be back Saturday night with more Nocturnal Journal. So here's some Billy Branch for you. Hello, Billy.